This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear.
Frazzled, everything is still connected. So, yeah, we're going out on Odyssey. We're getting our tech guy, Captain Kickass, to come in and try to figure out what's going on. I have dead air right now out on the radio, and this isn't playing. That means that there's dead air on the radio. So is Captain not out there?
No.
Dang it. Okay, well, he was here, and he left, and I guess he left his water bottle. I thought he was staying for at least the first segment or something. I don't know what's going on. Like, we just didn't get our music come back in, and I'm not sure what to do about that. So it's connected on here, and I don't know what else to check.
Yeah, because we're not going out to the radio.
So
I would assume it would be something on the board.
Yeah, but everything is unchanged, except during the break, I was listening to the...
I know.
Oh, okay, so are you on the phone with Captain Kickass? Sorry, people who are on Odyssey and stuff like that.
I know, we know.
I'm not sure what's going on.
It's not going out, that's why we're on dead air right now.
Are you talking to Captain Kickass?
Hey, I...
Can you call Captain Kickass?
I gotta go. Bye-bye.
I don't have his number on my phone.
I don't know his number.
I don't know what to do. Like, there's always, unmute server audio. That's what I had. And it's just not, going. But, yeah, right now we're just on...
his number?
No, I have his number. It's just not, like, his phone number. I only talked to him... I've only ever talked to him on, the other thing.
Oh, no.
Element. Are you calling him?
Yeah.
The switch, someone said.
Yeah, but what switch? This has never happened to me, so sorry, people. I don't really know what to do. I'm really annoyed. It's like this has totally happened when I'm just on because I'm not the freaking wizard. Ian is the wizard.
It says we're live.
Well, yeah, we're live on Odyssey and internet things. We're just not on the
radio. It's on the rack. It's a black switch.
This? Yeah, I don't think they know what they're talking about, but Captain Kickass is here.
Sorry, guys. We'll be right there in just a moment.
You're on the phone with Ian? Let's just continue the show like normal. Sorry about that. I think Captain Kickass will be able to figure out what's going on because he's not on the phone with Ian, apparently.
Everything's unmuted properly. Server audio is unmuted.
Started at the... at the end of the break. We're still on Odyssey. I think those people will forgive us. I guess we'll just...
because we're still being broadcasted otherwise.
Yep. I think we should just take a caller.
Maybe.
You're not going to be on the radio, but you're on the internet with us, so... Okay. CW in Arizona, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
You guys are having technical difficulties. You are live in my area.
Oh, you can hear us
on the radio?
Yes, KTOX, you are live.
That's weird.
Well, that's good, I guess.
Yeah, we got flashing lights in the studio saying that we are on dead air.
I'll see you later.
Oh, is that all you wanted to say?
I don't know, that
was actually very helpful, though, to know that we are going out to some radio stations. So, yeah, I mean, let's just continue here. What were you talking about?
I wanted to bring up Joa's activism he's been doing since he's been back in Keene. So,
yeah.
What have you been up to, Joa?
So yesterday I went out to Robin Hood. I like to say I went on a journey.
A journey.
With my new friend.
An adventure.
Yep. My friend Jane, the parking meter lady.
And oh, yes. Okay.
I,
and this isn't Keene, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So
I think we go way back with Jane, the free seaters and Jane go way back.
Yep.
She was the one that tried to sue the Free Staters in Keene in 2010, 2011 for doing exactly what Joe is doing now because she claimed that they were harassing her.
She's harassing me by running around giving everybody tickets.
Yeah, stealing from her neighbors and from people not from here, and they'll never want to come back here. And I kept them reminding her that, like, oh, here we go again.
She did lose that. It's not harassment to go and film a public official walking around.
Get a real job if you don't want to be harassed.
You know, right. First thing she said to me, when I started the actual journey, so you got to watch the videos on my channel, Breaking the Flaw. But so she was like, you need to stay back. Stay away from me. She turned at me like that was the only thing she said to me the whole time.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I'm out in front of City Hall, and she's about to start her walk. And I was like, we're going to go on a journey. You ready to go on a journey? And she's
That's what she said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I was like, oh, that's kind of weird that she said that. It makes more sense that you would say that.
and then she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean a journey? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, what do you mean we? And I was like, as in you and I. We're going to go on a journey. We're going to be friends. And then she went back into City Hall. And I was like, all right, you can do that too. You can just not do your job.
Yeah, she does a,
that's better, actually.
Yeah.
Line of duty. Good. Excellent work, Joa. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. I saved 30 people yesterday.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So were you doing it in the way, like, you followed her around, and when she was about to get someone, you went and fed their meter?
Yeah, well, a lot of times, actually most of the time, it was the digital kiosk, right? The kiosk pay stations.
Yeah.
So all those parking spots I couldn't do anything about, and they don't print receipts anymore, which I think is bull.
So, yeah, and that's the thing, because, like, previously with those, you would stick it in your windshield or whatever, but now they don't, so I always get paranoid when I do use those, because I'm like, how do they know?
If you put your license plate in the system, and then she runs your license plate, and then it should see
it checks. Has the app.
Yeah, this is why I like the printed, because I don't want to give up my license plate. I don't want to run
in their system.
Their system. I mean, I know they can run their plates at any time they want, right? That's not the point. But the point
isn't
is
that
like,
kind of like that's like an unreasonable search and seizure in a way.
Yeah, you're voluntarily giving it up.
Yeah,
you're involuntarily giving it up. Sorry.
Alu talked about that in one of his books about the license plate.
They have a scanner, an automatic license plate scanner. That's definitely a Fourth Amendment violation.
Well, yeah, especially with, like, the cops. They
don't have anything better to do.
Luckily, outlawed in New Hampshire, but in a lot of states, they still have
it. Stopped blinking.
The license plate reader is outlawed in New Hampshire?
The scanner. Really? I thought it was.
On the cruisers?
I don't know. I could be wrong. For some reason, I thought that it was. Maybe I'm just thinking of the red light cameras.
Well, I don't know about that either.
I think we do have red light cameras here.
I don't know, actually.
Ian specifically said we don't.
No,
yeah,
I didn't
like
see
there
any.
Was like this whole thing like where somebody thought there was a camera on a post here in Keene, and we were all like, "What the heck is that thing?"
Yeah, it's not
and
pictures.
They eventually took it down, and we were just like,
"Oh, that's
that was weird for a few
that's
months." It was
strange.
Yeah, back in Rhode Island, there's cameras everywhere that take pictures of you if you go through the lights or in residential areas, it's crazy, everywhere.
So sometimes they have, the flashing light, if it's a blizzard, so you can see that there's an intersection coming up, so maybe I'm mistaking that for the camera, because honestly...
No, there are cameras in intersections. They're just using it to monitor traffic. It's not so much they're reading plates. No, they're not.
Okay, so they're not, catching me for running red lights?
And I believe that... I feel like they're not recorded.
So what's the point?
To check traffic.
Oh.
So, as in, like, if there's somebody sitting there, that they literally have someone sit there to press green if somebody's sitting there too long or whatever. My cousin used to do that, but it was in California, where she was the person who turned the red light green.
And they could mess with you. They're like, oh, I know exactly who that is right there.
Right. I'm always afraid of that.
Boop, boop, turn it red on them, make it sit for a while, sit, obey.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so let me get back to the Robin Hooding thing yesterday. So she was going around to digital kiosks and giving people tickets because they hadn't paid. And I'd ring my bell on my bike, bring, 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 money, 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 money. And like, or she'd go and collect or try to see if there's any change in the change slots on the kiosk. And then she'd find some coins and I'd be like, bring, bring, money, money, money.
So do you have all this on camera?
Yeah. Okay. You gotta check out the video. It's hilarious.
That sounds great. That's why I'm like, you got this on camera, right?
Yeah. People were like looking at me, like, what am I doing? That's and then I just tell them like, we're engaged.
We're getting married.
My gosh.
And I keep thinking that if she's gonna try to get Joe on and say he's harassing her or whatever, that's gonna be her breaking point. She's gonna be like, "You can't tell people we're engaged."
But then I sent you this story yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think she'd win, but yeah.
But there was back when I was in high school, literally a sophomore year. This freshman, we both shared the same English teacher, Miss Dunn, right?
And apparently she was very hot.
Oh, Miss Dunn, you're the one.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard you tell stories about this lady before.
Yeah, oh, Miss Dunn, you're the one. You make my fantasies oh so much fun. Oh,
my God.
And, it, like, he like, obsessed with this English teacher. And he wrote a song about her. And then, like, the next song was, like, Golden Showers or something like that.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah.
But still about Miss Dunn?
No, but she was so embarrassed at the first thing, then, like, the next song is that, and, like,
So she tried to get him suspended.
Yo, he got expelled, actually.
Expelled.
Yeah, but he, ACLU, and it was funny because it made it to MTV News. It was hilarious.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Remember MTV News? One of the greatest? Yeah. So he fought it in court with the ACLU. He won. He made case law after it. And then we saw him back in school like 3 weeks later. And we're like, dude, you did it. You did it.
Oh, my God.
So I would use his case law for this whole harassment thing. I could say I'm in love with someone. They don't have to accept it or like it. But I can say it. I can say, I'm engaged.
You can say whatever you want.
And I guess technically you guys are engaged in making a video for YouTube.
Yeah, you're engaged in your adventure.
That's right.
In your adventure.
Well, I did say I was going to make a ring for her out of a coin, but not like silver coin or gold coin. Just, you know, this junky
nickel.
Yeah, the junky what is it? Nickel and zinc ones.
green.
No silver dimes here.
No, that's too expensive for her.
I do appreciate that kind of activism, Joa. When they were doing it in 2010 or whatever it was here in Keene, they had a lot of people doing it. They ended up costing the city of Keene about $30,000.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, I saved the city $450, technically. That's if none of those tickets go outstanding. Right?
What do you mean? Save them.
I saved people from 30 tickets.
Oh.
You mean like real people?
Yeah.
The fake City of Keene.
No,
people.
I don't care about that.
It costed the City of Keene $30,000 in revenue they would have gotten back then.
Yeah, so I saved, I prevented the city from taking $450 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
At least that, because if the tickets go out saying to like, and they double up to 30 and then to 60, you know, they make more money off of that too, and yeah.
It's just all right. You know, having your car parked in a spot that is supposedly public, and the excuse they also use is that they have to clear that area out at night for like officer safety or firefighter safety.
Oh, yeah.
The whole parking spot area around the circle at night in Keene.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't until.
So then it could just be posted. I mean, that has nothing to do with meters, though. You know, it's like it could just be posted, like, don't park here after this hour.
Actually, so I want to make a point here, too.
That's weird.
I actually don't want Jane to lose her job. I just want who she works for to change. So she can do exactly the same thing, potentially, But all the parking spaces are then given to the property adjacent to those parking spots.
Okay, yeah, like to the business owners.
Yes, like whatever, Fritz, right? Fritz yeah. over here at downtown Keene. They, the parking spots right in front of them are theirs now. They have to clean them, maintain them, plow them, and maybe hire Jane to patrol them.
But I would doubt they would do that because if you notice, usually it's the cities that are doing these things. No business owner would ever charge if they had, you know, parking spots or a parking lot.
Right.
They would never charge for somebody to park there because they want the revenue from their actual business.
Or at least, you know what I mean? Jane's job would change a little bit. Like instead of everybody paying every time they park to go to their business, it would be something like, okay, if this car's been here too long, like Jane's gonna have to give them a ticket. Because I can understand.
Yeah, if there's a 2-hour limit or whatever.
What about the idea that one of the parking spaces, maybe it's $10 an hour, $20 an hour. That spot will always be free until that person comes by to pay for it. It's just a market that's, you know, why not capitalize on these things? Why make it such a standard across the board? And I think everything that she does is absolutely pathetic because if there's any empty parking spaces, like, you don't have to give out tickets then. There's no demand to give out tickets. Yeah. Right? If there's empty parking spots, and trust me, there's always empty parking spots. Yeah. Until maybe Pumpkin Fest, but anyways.
Well, it is Open Phones show, and I'm pretty sure that we're back on the air on the radio now, so I'm going to answer a phone. We have Meredith, it looks like, in New Hampshire. Is that you on the phone with us?
Howdy, can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name?
It's Lumpy.
Oh, it came up different on the... Came up, I thought somebody had put that name in. Lumpy in New Hampshire. What's on your mind? Nice to hear from you.
Well, good evening. I'm actually not in New Hampshire, but yeah, that was... You got the number right. Anyway, good evening. I just wanted to clear something up. That's not Jane. That's the other one.
What? I don't know. I don't even know. I don't care about these people.
I didn't watch the whole.
You don't even know your fiance's name?
But I suspected that
we're
it wasn't
engaged
Jane
anymore.
Last night.
We were.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It didn't work out.
I didn't watch the whole video, but I wondered.
Jane's my girl.
But they both look really similar. They're like haggard old women. I'm not even that old. Like, she's got to be only like in her 50s, but she looks really, really, really bad. She's, if you want to see an up-close, disgusting video of her, you can watch my video. yes, that sounds worth it.
Yeah, it's funny how they both aged, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
they really both aged in a bad way.
Right.
And I think that happens to a lot of us if we don't live right. I know when I was not living right, I was aging quicker than I am now.
You can tell that they have no joy in their life. It's like ingrained in them, in their look, in their...
Well, they can't tell anybody what they do for a living. Nobody. How many people do you know would admit to being a cop or a meter maid?
Right.
You know, somebody who pushes around the public. I mean, they don't admit what they do in social settings.
Yeah, I was telling her yesterday, like, you know, when you're off duty shopping and people look at you, are they like scared of you? They're like, "Oh my God, did I feed the meter?" Like, is that how they when they see you? Is that how they interpret your look?
If you don't think they know that, I mean, they know that. I'm also want to express, like, you guys got me on the air here. I don't want to take up a whole segment. I love you guys. This whole thing with Ian's been trying for all of us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of damage they're out to do. I think this goes bigger than what any of us could imagine. It's been a damaging thing for all of us. They're targeting anybody who wants to think for themselves, not have groupthink. Right now, I do think there's a very big concerted, if you will, conspiracy to, I think there's a war on freedom. I really, truly do.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no question
about
that.
It's mental. It's emotional. It's a game.
This is the oldest fight ever, dude.
We think it is, and I think a lot of people that we think are here to help us are really dirty. Anyway, I love you guys. Thank you so much for existing. Thank you for changing my life so many times for so many years, and thank you for caring. and I appreciate you guys.
We love
of course,
you,
bro.
Lumpy.
Love you,
thank
man.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
It's really nice to hear from you, Lumpy.
It is.
Call in more
good
often.
To hear. Good to see you all. Good to hear from you all.
Good night, man.
We also have David in New Mexico. I'm going to go to him in a second, but I just wanted to say I agree. There's, you know, a war against, you know, the people who want to be parasites and live off others, and the people who just want to live free, the people who just want to live the best lives they could possibly live and not hurt anyone else. There's just two types of people. There's moral and immoral people. The only thing I really consider innately immoral is harming anyone else. And so, therefore, there's immoral and moral people, because there are people who want to live their lives and not harm anyone else, and then there are people who they don't want to have to work very hard, so they're like, eh, I'll just harm other people for my paycheck and my daily meals. And, yeah, there's a war against
us. Yeah, but you know
what?
You know what? I would rather be poor than sell my soul.
Right.
Me too.
Like, yeah, I think we're gonna be dead a lot longer than we're gonna be alive. And it matters what you do when you're alive, I believe.
Yeah.
The quality of life you're gonna have after death. But we have David in New Mexico on the phone. David, what's on your mind?
I love you, man.
Oh.
Thank you. We love you too, David.
You liar. You don't love me. You might like me the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest little bit sometimes, but oh, just kidding.
You're a good speaker.
Huh? Oh, thank you. Speaking, so yeah. Are you, Joe? Actually, I really admire Joe. Joe's got more cojones than I do when going face to face with people that want to abuse you.
Well, I appreciate that, but
yeah, no, right on. No, powerful stuff, man. I've always dug what you do, but I don't want to get all serious, man, because this is talk radio. You control, and I call it the troll. So, you know. You had CW from, where is it, Golden Showers. Oh, you're talking about Golden Showers earlier. From Golden Showers, Arizona. That's where Kotex Radio is, that bloody mess of a radio station, Kotex Radio. You know, the guy with the program just ahead of you is the Afternoon Jive guy, that Michael Hagwood guy, Afternoon Jive guy.
I don't know.
And so I don't know if you're on the radio there or not. You can't trust what CW says. CW, he can't do anything, man, and he knows I'm kidding. Hey, CW, how you doing? But yeah, so that you don't know for sure if you're on Kotex Radio, because like I said, bloody
yeah,
mess,
I didn't
mess.
Think we were, because like we have these lights that blink. I kind of just trust Ian's past work that he's done to automate this place better.
Well, actually, you may be. CW is pretty sharp. I think he meant that he was listening to you on broadcast radio as opposed to on the internet, and he's a sharp dude, so he should know what he's talking about, but maybe there was a room for confusion there. I don't know. CW, call back again. Tell us if you're on broadcast, if you're listening
one
on broadcast.
Call night.
Yeah, but the other thing is,
but that's what I collected from it, that he was on listening on the radio.
Yeah, Captain has already, you know, been on the phone with people. The lights stopped flashing, so I think we're back. We're just going to find out when the music comes up in about a minute or two.
Okay, well, shout out to all the listeners in Golden Showers, Arizona, there on Kotex Radio, Bloody Mess Radio.
Thank you, David. Oh, God. Sorry. I honestly thought that was it. Thank you, David, for your call. Yeah, I think that we're going to be good now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The official death toll for Americans in Israel has risen to 22. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said 17 are still missing, and there are reports of several Americans being held captive by the militant group.
I think we all need to steel ourselves for the distinct possibility that these numbers will keep increasing.
A recent Gallup poll indicates that almost two-thirds of Americans believe that businesses have a positive influence on their lives. A significant portion also believes that there's room for further improvement. The poll also found that Americans were twice as likely to view small businesses as having a positive impact on their lives compared to larger companies. Visiting Walt Disney World or Disneyland will come with a higher price tag. Expect increases in theme park tickets as well as parking fees. At Disney World, the annual passes are increasing in a range of $30 to $50. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, 603-283-6160. That is the phone number for you to call to get on the air with us, 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Joa.
And we do have a caller on the line, and I'm going to go straight to the calls because it's an open phones talk show. Sarah in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
I just want to bring up that even these elections, it seems like everybody feels like it's kind of worthless. It doesn't, you know, people find
it
out.
That,
yeah.
Well, that's what everybody concludes, but, I mean, I kind of do agree with that, but there's some things that do, you know, happen that does make a difference. Like, all the years of I voted for the library bonds, but we wind up building two new libraries in the last 7 years.
Sarah, it does seem like as far as voting goes, like the small scale, like local voting does seem to make a little bit more of a difference. I mean, whatever, I still don't necessarily agree with it because it's kind of like forcing your wants and your opinions
like
on other people.
Your little neighbors.
But you will see like more of a difference with the local voting because people, one, like your neighbors aren't as likely to vote locally. A lot of people just vote in like the big political or the big presidential elections. it's more of a grassroots effort, right? And less like, oh, we're voting for the whole entire country or the whole entire state. Like, you're less likely to see any sort of change from that.
Yeah, and then one of the votes that that I talked about with one of the people I met was that they always want to raise property tax for the people that own homes to pay for the schooling. And then what he concluded was it doesn't matter where you get the money, and then it doesn't matter, you keep dumping money all over into the education, and the kids are always dumb. They test low.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it doesn't make any difference where you put, how much money you put into it.
Well, do you agree with that, Sarah? That it doesn't matter how much money you throw at the public schools, they're still not going to do a very good job?
Well, here in New Mexico, it pretty much is the truth. I mean, they've been spending a lot of money on the kids when they're always testing the bottom of the barrel no matter what.
Well, Sarah, what would it take to convince you that there should just be private schools that make a profit and they have an incentive to do better and teach kids?
Well, I mean, what private school? We're so poor, nobody has any money.
Because you guys are taxed for the public schools. Did you see that?
Yeah, you're getting stolen from.
Or if we made it easier, so say if a family doesn't want to pay for a private school, which doesn't make sense because they're already paying for the public school, right? So you might as well allocate that money to the private school. But regardless, if we were to make it a lot easier for parents to homeschool their children, I mean, there's a ton of free homeschooling curriculum right. up to like 12th grade on the internet that people can just get. So even if their parents are dumb, like they can still set them up with something. You know, and I think in New Hampshire, I think they give people a stipend to homeschool. And a lot of the thing with homeschooling is, like, to do it legally, right? Like, it's super regulated, and you have to jump through all these hoops. And to so many people, they're like, well, it's too hard, and they feel incompetent or unable to educate their children. So they just send them to public school to send them off to someone else who is incompetent and unable to educate their children.
Well, to play a little bit of a statist here, okay, in the sense that, all right, if public school is going to exist, right, and how they get their funding, when is it they get their funding? The students don't go up in numbers or anything like that. They just stay the same. But the incentive that they have today is that if the kids are dumb and they get bad grades, guess what? They get more funding.
So it's like rewarding.
They're rewarding bad, you know, bad teaching.
Bad results, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Sarah, let me ask you this. What if the public schools rewarded the schools and the teachers if they did well?
Well, I mean, that makes sense, but I think I was discussing, like, the what happens is that with our property tax, it always voted, people vote for it. Because most of the voters are renters. Very few people own property.
It's
so now, it's
not affecting them. It's dumb to think it doesn't affect you if you're a renter. I mean, these are just people that don't think very far ahead.
Definitely the buck is going to be passed down to the rent, the cost of rent.
And then they're going
to
complain like, oh, these renters, these fat cats, they're just charging so much money for rent.
We can't have our kids babysat for free.
the rewarding the schools for money, that sounds pretty good. But New Mexico, we dumped a lot of money on education, and it's always the same low test scores. So most of the homeowners will vote against the property tax. They're like, no, get the money from somewhere else. Don't raise my tax.
Hey, Sarah, do you think that it's the government's goal to actually educate people, or do you think it's their goal to keep them dumb so they don't know how to, you know, play this? I don't want to say play the system, but more like, you know, get involved in the system to actually make an educated difference. Or, you know, so do you think they really want you to be smart? Really?
Well, of course, no. You know what? They want you to be educated enough to do a menial job, to work a job, but they don't want you to be too educated because they'll have a revolution and a rebellion if you're too educated.
Yes, sir.
Sound like you're really coming around.
Sound like you're against public schools to me.
Yeah, but Sarah, what if I told you that public schools are just lining the kids up to fill the positions that they want you in? Right?
Oh, yeah. They want you to be smart enough to count change or push them up or flip burgers.
That's all they want. You know, it's funny because like all these rich, like all these millionaires, billionaires that invent things and come up with new ideas that are very successful, they did that out of their garage. They didn't do that from a public school. Actually, a lot of them dropped out of public school because they thought it was so dumb and that they started their own way.
Another thing about it, Sarah, is I feel like you just think, oh, private school, that's so expensive. How could, what New Mexican family could possibly, you know, afford that? Just because there isn't a competition, price, pushing prices down, you know, and we have this public school system where most people just go for that. So if you want to go to private school, it's going to be a lot more expensive because, you know, that's like, luxury, basically. If people, one, weren't getting taxed, you know, stolen from in order to pay for your kids, anybody else's kids to go to public school, and two, there was a competing system of free market schools out there, it wouldn't be that expensive. Like, how
it would actually be cheaper because it'd be probably efficient because it's a profiting system, so they can't, like, they can't fail, and no one's going to send their kids to that school when they're failing.
Yeah.
They're going to send to the school, the kids to the school when they can succeed in life and in what they're being taught. So it's the competition's right there on its own. I mean, why does anyone send the kids to public schools anyways? I know what it is. It's a cop-out system to get their kids babysat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys don't understand New Mexico. We're like the most, we got the most poorest, the pitiful kids in the world. They're looking, asking for school supply. They got no new clothes, no shoes, no underwear, no clean socks. They have no bed. They have nothing. They have no foster parents. They got no big brothers or sisters. They have nothing. Every year they're asking for everything.
And there's so much government involvement in your state, Sarah. Don't you think that has something to do with it? Like, they took everything, all the, you know, culture and opportunity to do well away from the natives, and then they just handed them back, like, you know, you get your res money or whatever they call it every month, and you don't have to work, just, you know, sit on this depressing desert, like, and do nothing because the government's going to take care of you. And then it's not just them, obviously, it's everybody in New Mexico pretty much is in a position to be on welfare. Not everyone, but it sounds like Sarah's like exaggerating. She's not exaggerating.
No,
well,
she's
Louisiana
not.
And Mississippi have them beat for, you know, poor kids in bad schools. So,
but
look,
still,
the government, it's like New Mexico is a good example of it because it is really bad. Like she says, it is there. And what they're doing is they live in poverty. They're peons to the system, and they wave a carrot in front of their face, and they keep reaching, but they don't get it. No. So it's a really sick system what they have going on over there. And now that, you know, the governor is, you know, taking gun rights, so now you can't protect whatever you have, any valuables. You can't protect yourself. You can't protect your life. It's crazy.
Sarah, would you rather have to get a job and not be on welfare anymore, or you know, get the opportunity for people to have the opportunity to do better for themselves than they're doing now in New Mexico?
I'm happy with my life because I get to do like other things. Like, I'm gonna have a meeting this Saturday with my network marketing at a library. It gives me more time and energy to do things that are useful for the public other than working a regular job. There's more to life than working a regular job.
See, this is the attitude, listeners, of the average person who is voting to take your rights away so they can just sit on welfare.
Doesn't it feel so selfish, though? Like, I shouldn't have to work and make my own money because I'm going to steal it from the other, you know, she's admitting everybody's in New Mexico is poor, right? Everybody's living in poverty.
Yeah.
She's stealing money from other poor people because she's too lazy to work.
I would say Sarah's living a lavish lifestyle or anything.
Yeah, but
she's living within a very low means, but probably a lot better than most other people because she seems very quaint in her ways. I'm not judging her on how much money she has or anything like that, but she's definitely, you know, milking the
system. I mean,
you're
not going to get a lot of money from the government, so. No. I mean, if you're not working and you're just collecting government, you know, money, I mean, yeah, you can assume that people are still, you know, living in poverty, basically, right?
It's comfortable in a certain sense, but
enough,
it's
yeah.
soulless.
Because you don't have to work.
It costs your soul to yeah. do this. Do it. I mean, is it worth it to have a full belly?
And that's my thing. Like, I don't necessarily need to be, like, super rich and have a ton of money. I don't really like money. I like sustainability. Like, there are other things that I'm more interested in. Like, I'd rather have more of a simple lifestyle where I'm, you know, comfortable and sustainable, whatever. But I would rather still work. Like, working can be fulfilling. I'd rather tend my own gardens and produce my own food, which you can't do in New Mexico because there's no rain or soil that you can grow any sort of food in.
You can grow stuff in deserts. I don't
hardly.
Know no, I mean, like, you can. There is definitely people growing stuff in the desert.
Yeah, but they can't even grow grass.
You can grow grass. It's just that it's not part of its ecosystem. There's like a diverse
yeah.
ecosystem, and there's just as many.
I think obviously, like if you're trying to garden in South Carolina, you're going to do a lot better job than if you're trying to garden in the desert. It just doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, if you're sitting somewhere where you have light and you have water you can bring in, it's not that I'm saying
well,
it
so
just
that's
grows
the thing.
Naturally in the ground like
but,
carrots.
But that's the thing. Like, so you have to steal water from somewhere else. And yeah, there's aquifers like really, really deep in the soil in the desert. But typically what they do is they steal water from another state that where it does rain.
That's what I'm saying. It's 2023. I'm not saying in the 1700s or something.
Yeah, but I'm talking about sustainability, right? So I'm talking about having your own well, having your own, you know, waste removal, growing your own food. Like, I'm not talking about, like, again, it's kind of I don't want to call it leeching off of the state, but, I mean, if you're consuming city water, city, you know, waste removal, you're not sustainable. You're not self-reliant.
You're very dependable.
You're still
depending on them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you're still completely dependent on the state. And if the state ceased to exist, it's like, you don't have any water. You don't have any, you know, a lot of these people, you know, are kind of going to be screwed. But
without the state, people would just make deals with other states where they got water. Like, there are things that you couldn't live with here if we didn't have trade
yeah.
in other places. It's like that everywhere.
Yeah, of course, but I would rather have a well than rely on somebody else. And that was kind of my point of self-sustainability, not having to use an outside source for pretty much anything. Everything
I
am
consuming.
I don't
think you could do it anywhere.
Absolutely, you could. People yeah, have been doing it for hundreds of years.
Not trading? People don't just
sit
in place and not trade
anything. Of course you can trade, but
like extremely low levels of living.
So technically speaking, you know, obviously I personally wouldn't want to do this, but if I had a well, I had my own, you know, like septic system or leach field, I had a garden, I had chickens and maybe some other animals for meat, I could technically, like me and my family, like we could survive off of just my, you know, 5 acres. However many I have. So, like, technically it is possible. I'm not saying it's super comfortable, but...
That's what all I'm saying. Like, you can live in a place where you don't have this, but you can trade for X with other people and have a comfortable, happy life basically anywhere.
Yeah.
But
I was speaking to me personally, I like self-sustainability, and I don't want to rely on anyone for any of my, like, absolute necessities. Like, yeah, I want to buy salt from somebody, but, like, food and water, like, yeah, I want to produce that myself.
To take it to an extreme level, there's this guy I follow, Robin Greenfield, and he has a YouTube channel. You can look him up. But he owns, like, just maybe a little over 100 items, and he lives sustainably by foraging all of his food,
mm-hmm.
and he eats really good meals. Like, it's healthy. He looks healthy, and he doesn't make any money. Like, he does make some money because of his YouTube channel, but that just became successful because people really like how he's living.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating that, and I learned a lot from him, and really, there's actually more nutritious food by foraging than you can find at the store.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
I'm sure.
You know? Actually, I just want to give you guys, since it's on my mind, it's lamb's quarters, and you probably won't find it as much right now because it's getting cooler, but lamb's quarters, it has more protein, and it tastes better
really?
Than spinach. Oh, it is actually really good. Really good.
What is that?
You have to look it up, but look
it's
up
like
lamb.
It's a green?
Yeah, it's a green. It's just, it looks kind of like spinach, except mm-hmm. it's not as round, it's kind of like,
yeah.
kind of pointy-ish, but It tastes good right off, fresh.
And that's a great point about foraging. I think a lot of that wisdom has just been lost.
You know what I mean?
Like, and this has been lost like for hundreds of years, like kind of since the invent of farming, right?
I think that's why people are collectivists now. That we used to want to, you know, build gardens and farms and, like, you know, have things in rows and it looks so organized and like a collectivist, right? But now it's like people collect figurines and cards, baseball cards and Pokemon cards and all these different things, video games.
And that's
a collectivist system. It's just that I think it's in our psyche. It's just that we're not tapping into it properly.
Yeah, that's actually probably a great point. And, like, going back to foraging, like, there are tons. I mean, humans at one point, like, hunter-gatherers, I mean, they were surviving simply from foraging and hunting wild animals.
I mean, only 150 years ago, 90% of the world population were hunter-gatherers,
and
farmers.
A lot of them lived in, you know, like, Utah and New Mexico. They lived. So that was, like, my whole point. The thing about what Sarah said that's silly is she thinks that to work for yourself and provide for yourself, you have to be, like, sitting in a cubicle or her point was, there's more to life than going to, like, a regular job. But the thing about boring regular jobs that everyone hates is you do those when you're young and inexperienced to move up, and that should be the opportunity for you to save up, to go and do this next thing. Like, you don't just, you know, wake up and you're doing some dream job.
Yeah, well, and I think also it's a different mindset, right? Like, kind of what, like, we were just describing with, like, being a hunter-gatherer or, like, a nomad or, like, being a farmer, like, those very, like, primitive, basic lifestyles. Or even, like, say, you know, starting your own business and just doing something that's really fulfilling to you. It's a completely different mindset than someone that is, like, living in the city and is just like, okay, well, I need money, right? Because, like, I need to pay my rent, and, you know, like, everything costs money, right? Like, I have to go to the grocery store, and, you know, everything costs money. So it's a different mindset that you have to be in to even survive in those environments. It's like, you need to work some crappy job, and even if it's really well-paying, like, say, you know, if you're an accountant and you're making, like, 150 grand a year, you know, you're living pretty comfortably. Maybe you have a big house, but if you hate your job, yeah, you're going to think, like, it kind of goes back to Sarah and, like, justifies her point where it's like, yeah, you might as well just do nothing.
I might spoil it for the Etsy producers, the marketplace. But because I'm going to say it's a national radio, you literally can just collect acorns, polish them, and then glue the caps back on, and then put them on Etsy for, like, a lot of money.
Or just
pine cones, and you put a sealant on them, then just put it in a fancy bag and sell it on Etsy.
Yeah.
You're literally finding these things. I actually was doing this. I was finding driftwood in rivers, and then just leaving them out in the sun, let them get a little bit whiter, giving it a quick salt scrub, and then selling them on Etsy.
But if you live in the desert, then you don't have pine cones.
Nah.
So then you have to buy them off Etsy.
You can find desert roses. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Find lizard skeletons. I don't know what you can find in the desert, but
yeah.
But
what I'm saying
something.
Is, like, if you want a pine cone and you don't live in an area with pine trees.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
Where am I going to get my pine cones?
There's evergreen trees in the desert, too. That's the thing. A lot of people just haven't been there, and they think it's all sand.
Well, where I have been to the desert, there was literally nothing, and it was the most depressing place I've ever been.
Well,
you know what I mean? It was just, like, terrible.
Like, nothing neither should I.
This is Southern California I'm talking about, and I was, like, looking at the real estate market there the other day, and just, like, the yards, and that I'm like...
Yeah.
It's just, I'm like, this is just looks like a sad place.
I love Southern California, though. It's so beautiful.
Some parts of it.
I mean, I wouldn't want to earn property.
Not Lancaster.
You can't really do anything. Well, like San Diego and, you know, down to the border.
Oh, yeah. Once you're, like, more on the coast, then it gets a little bit more, like, the ecosystem kind of
strengthens. I literally thought I was, like, another planet. All the succulents and stuff.
Where?
I was like, whoa. Am I, like, in Mario's world?
In California?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, the callers, there's only one caller, David Hathaway. He was also on the show as a guest, like 2 weeks ago when the last show Zim was on. He's from Arizona, and we were talking about just the sky in the West is something I miss so much. Like, it's such a big difference. Yeah. I don't know why
and that's
it would
funny.
be.
I could see, like, yeah, like the big sky, just like that view, yeah, is really, I could see how some people would definitely like that.
Like, just going from Utah to moving back to Texas, I was, like, immediately depressed because, like, my friends would say stuff like, look how beautiful the sunset is tonight. And it's just like, oh, there's, like, some pink, it's, yeah. Like, nothing. I don't even know how to, I mean, I can't describe in words how beautiful every single sunset is, yeah. Is in a place where you can see the sky. But,
well, I just rode out to Michigan a couple weeks ago, and I just really, I was like, why do people live out here? It's flat.
Never been there.
It's flat.
So
it's like, once I go past, like, Pennsylvania, and you get into Ohio and Michigan, you're like,
Kansas.
This is boring. This is really, really boring.
Well, and that's something, like, I was really yearning for. Like, when I was out in the desert, I was like, first of all, like, the big sky, like, I did not like that. I was like, I feel like I have no shelter. Like, there's no trees, there's no mountains. Like, I feel so exposed. I'm like, if an alien came here right now, like, I would have nowhere to hide. Like,
I feel lost in the flatlands.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, coming back home to places like New Hampshire and Vermont, where it's so mountainous, and we have all of these wildflowers, and it's so green and luscious, and there's,
my car is struggling, you know, to go up hills.
My car actually does struggle to go up hills, but, you know.
Does yours, Joa?
Well, I mean, yeah, some of these hills are treacherous.
Especially, like, in the winter.
Yeah, especially in the winter. But yeah, and I think that's the point is, like, I don't know, people like different things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I understand the point of living. If you're living in California, bad laws. And then you live in a place that doesn't have mountains, since they do have beautiful mountains in other parts.
Oh, yeah. California is a huge state, yeah.
They have greenery. So you're going to choose to live in a place that's flat, no greenery, no ocean.
Expensive.
Expensive. Terrible laws.
Terrible laws.
Yeah, the least you could do is live on the coast and make the best of it.
San Francisco.
No, maybe not. Not that part of the coast.
Poop rolls uphill there.
Don't get crazy.
Yeah, I don't get California in general. I wouldn't live there, but it's actually really sad because it's just that the laws have mostly messed up such a place that could be amazing. I haven't spent much time there, but I went to Sacramento, when I was like 17, and it's just so incredibly beautiful there, so green, even just like the people there, so beautiful. They've completely ruined an entire state with terrible laws. And it's people like Sarah. You heard her. She said that she would choose her benefits over kids getting educated. And she'll, you know, vote your rights away in New Mexico. That's just a bunch of people like her in California.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.